Aloha.
Aloha.
Good morning, Cody.
Good morning.
So wonderful to hear your voice on the phone here.
Hello.
Welcome. We have on the phone here Kumuhula Kori Poel Pata from Maui. He is a Nahoku Hano Hano Award nominee, four times in the Hakumeli category. You're also the winner of the 2000 Frank B. Shaner Aloha Festival's Hawaiian Falsetto Contest. You're a songwriter. So many hats you wear. Welcome to Kauai.
Thank you very much. Beautiful here.
Yes. I just want to congratulate you on your three solo albums, E Ho'i Nawai, He Aloha, and Mo'ohana.
Yes. And thank you so much.
You have a number of original songs, and I was interested in kind of like your early years. Where did you grow up? How did you get here? And can you kind of give us a little background?
Yeah, sure. I was actually born in California. My dad is half Native American, quarter Hawaiian, and quarter Filipino. And so he does have island roots. And in 1991, he was coming back and forth to Hawaii for work for a while, and then in 1991 we moved to Maui. That's where our ancestors come from, on our Hawaiian side. And then I started to learn more about the Hawaiian culture from the elders and the aunties that were around at that time, relatives of mine, of course. And I was immersed in the culture, the language, and almost as soon as we came, I was snatched up, and my training to become a kumuhula began. And in 2001, 10 years later, I was able to uniki, to graduate, and I've been teaching hula since 2003.
It's such your lineage is really amazing.
Lucky, I guess.
Very lucky, yes, very lucky. Well, obviously that's your destiny.
Oh, I hope so. I hope I'm not wasting my energy.
I don't think so. So tell us about your kumu.
Well, my first kumu hula was Auntie Nona Kaluhio Kalani, and I stayed with her from 1991 until 2002, when she passed away. I didn't really have the desire to teach on my own. I just figured I would teach with her, you know, for years to come. But she passed away in 2002. And she was a very humble person, very strict person, very disciplined person, a very honest person as well. So if I needed to learn something that she didn't know, there was no jealousy in her where she would shy away from directing me to other people. Luckily, in her group of friends, she had masters and other well-respected kahuna that she could call upon. In fact, in our own halau was a panel of elders, and amongst the elders was a particular lady, and Diane Amadeo. She was a master laymaker as well as a kahuna pule. And so she also helped to train me with certain aspects of cultural things and Maui-specific history that I learned directly from Auntie Nona's hula master himself, Uncle George Naope. And when it was time for me to learn, Auntie wanted me to learn singing. So she traded me out to another Maui kumu hula, Auntie Ke'ala Kukona. And so the trade-off was I was to teach them our kahiko traditions and chant traditions, and they were to teach me awana. I ended up living with Auntie Ke'ala for a few years and learning how to sing falsetto, which by 1999 I was able to win the Frank B. Shaner falsetto competition. And then when it started to get to the huna things of hula, the stronger and the more heavier responsibility things of hula, I was sent to Auntie Nona's other good friend, Uncle J.J. Akiona in Kona, and I learned from him directly, as well as his two masters, the kahuna pule Eleanor Makita, and the last of the masters I learned from who are still alive, Auntie Hilda, Kiana, Aina. All of them have since passed except for Auntie Hilda. Those are my teachers that I count. We recount their names every hula practice and our halal chant.
That's so wonderful. I'm so happy for you. What a blessed life you have.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think everybody does. It's just when you're able to look back and see the loa hour or the yield, then mm-hmm. that's when you realize how blessed you actually were.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You're also a tribal linguist for Peskenta, the Peskenta band of
Nomlaki
Indians. And where is that? Where are they located?
So my on my Indian side, it's northern central California. I'm kind of around, it's about 2 hours north of Sacramento. If you're familiar with Northern California, there's kind of an area called Chico.
Mm-hmm.
But that's on the east side of the Sacramento River. So the west side of the Sacramento River is our traditional tribal area. And so we have a small reservation there, right outside of Corning, California. And that's, that's where we're from. My dad's mother was Nomlaki Yuki and Pomo. And we used to belong to the Round Valley Indian Reservation. We were registered there. But in 1994, the Nomlaki Indians that were interned there decided to go back to their ancestral lands. And we had a cemetery there in Peskenta. And so we were able to get land awarded back to us. So we have about 2,500 acres. And right next to I-5, we have casino and golf courses and truck stops and things like that on it. So until I was 16, I was raised around those ways. Me and my sister were kind of trained in specific aspects of our tribe's physical and spiritual culture. So I was able to absorb a little bit of that. And now I'm the youngest speaker of our language. And so because I have some formal training in linguistics, it was natural that I became the linguist
uh-huh.
for the tribe, yeah. That's what I do, too.
There seems such similarities in Native American Indians and in Hawaiian culture.
Mm.
The blessing, the blessing of the land and the ocean and just the whole spiritual aspect is, to me, is very similar.
Yeah, The cultures themselves aren't related at all, language or culture, but there are certain aspects of managing and manipulating your resources to the benefit of all in the surrounding environment as well as all in the community. This way of being efficient.
Mm-hmm. I just have always liked reading Native American Indian sayings and Hawaiian sayings, and just the poetry that really touches my heart.
Mm-hmm. That's also an efficient way to convey meanings across generations. If you can, like our in Hawaii, I should say, our traditional ways of composing, there's such a mastery of words in that. With the expenditure of one breath, I can tell you five different messages at one time. And so if there's a particular chant or a song, that it's filled with layers and layers of meaning, and all of those layers of meaning get conveyed across generations each time that particular mele is expressed or sung or chanted.
Mm-hmm.
So you talked about the sayings and things, but they serve many, many functions.
Tell me about your composition, Mili o Pu'a.
Oh, that one won the Hoku Hano Hano in, was it 2008?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Haku Mele Award. I think that's one of the most prestigious awards is the Haku Mele Award, because it has to do with your poetic style, the wording, and your musical composition.
Yeah, that's a hard one to win. Even to be nominated in that category means that you are amongst the top composers for that year.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some good competition in the 2008 year. That was, I think, Kainani Kahunaele. I think Frank Hewitt was in there too. All they're very accomplished composers as well. It came as a surprise to me. I never expect to win anything. But I ended up winning it. That was a feather in my cap, I guess.
Can you tell me about the song?
It's a Mele Ho'oi Poipo, which is a traditional way to express lovemaking, or it either records lovemaking techniques or things that happen, or it can be instructional piece of text as well. And that serves as both. It, outwardly, it speaks of the physical attributes of an area on Oahu, up in Kalihi Valley. And most of the song theme surrounds a rock feature that we couldn't find a traditional name for, so we named it Mili Opua, which means to caress the Opua cloud. And it's kind of a weird situation, but there's a rock base, a bare rock base, that always is surrounded by a little cloud. And so, we focus on that. But if anybody that listens to the Mele is familiar with Hawaiian language, the way that the place names and the wind and rain names of that area, the way they combine within the song, it can be kind of revealing
mm-hmm.
as far as the actions that took place.
When did you first start playing ukulele?
When I was a senior in high school. I never had an inclination to pick up an instrument.
Uh-huh.
And
you went to Baldwin.
Yeah, I did go to Baldwin.
You and Amy.
Yes. Bears. Hail to the maroon and blue.
Yeah. And so you didn't play ukulele till you were in high school?
Yeah, I had no inclination to play any kind of stringed instrument or... but in
you're
the
a
hollow,
quick learner. Is that?
Well, you have to be. Uh-huh. You know, just it's what they... If the kumu or your aunties say play, then you pick up something and you play. And that started it. Auntie Nona was an excellent musician, but Auntie Ke'ala was very... well-rounded in that she played lots of instruments. So when you live with her, it was chanting and singing and dancing almost 24/7 around. You never know when she's just going to say, put the dishes down and grab this instrument, and then we just end up playing more. That's how we learn. We don't learn formally like, play
uh-huh.
C7. You know, just follow uh-huh. me and do it. Don't mess it up.
Wow.
Yeah. So today I don't know the names of chords. I don't know what matches really with what, like technically, but I know it sounds good in my ears and how we used to play it, and that's how I play it now.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to your program tonight. What songs are you going to be bringing to the program tonight at Ekani Kapila Kako?
Oh, we have a whole bunch of songs, actually. I'm here with two of my musicians, Mark Palakiko and Dennis Kihokalole, and we plan on doing... storytelling, because Auntie Carol Yotsuda, I guess the theme for this year is Mo'olelo, or the stories.
Yes.
And so I'll have a number of original compositions, as well as songs that were composed by my friends, and the story that they shared with me, along with, of course, we can't come to Kauai without singing a few Kauai classics, so we'll be doing those things as well. We do teach an ukulele class from, I think, 6 to 6:45.
Yes.
And I'm going back and forth between which song to sing. There's one original that I have, then there's also a medley of a Maui classic that could be exciting to learn. It depends on the level of ukulele players there, but we'll see. We'll see what ends up being taught at that time.
Well, it promises to be a wonderful evening. You're going to be surprised. There's lots of good musicians that come faithfully.
Oh,
good. Yeah, so it's going to be a wonderful evening. We're really looking forward to it. And
mahalo.
Yes. So do you have a website that our listeners can go to find out more about you?
Well, you can Google my name, find things about myself that I don't even know. Or my producer's website is ululoa.com, ululoa.com. And then if you'd like to buy the album that I'm on, there's mele.com, of course. Mo'ohana, the last one that you mentioned, is not for sale in stores. It doesn't have a barcode. It was actually a small project that we wanted to do, and when we went to print the CDs, there is a $50 difference between ordering 500 and 1,000. So we just ordered the 1,000, and now we're kind of, it's like selling it out of the back of our cars. Mm-hmm. It is, however, available on mele.com, but the retail stores that it's found in, there's only three on Maui that carries it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if that's kind of an exclusive thing. It's a very short album. It only has 6 songs on it, so it's a little bit cheaper than, of course, a regularly length.
It's a wonderful album, though.
Mahalo.
Yeah, all your music is really, really wonderful.
Thank you.
And I really look forward to seeing you tonight.
Likewise.
And thank you so much for taking the time to call in, Cody. I hope you have a wonderful day, and we'll see you this evening.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you to Kauai as well.
Yes. Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Aloha. Hui ho.
Hui ho.